Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today we're continuing our series based upon this little book, The Five Means of Grace, Experiencing God's Love in the Wesleyan Way. Wesleyan obviously being the theology of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Revival Movement. And so this is our Bible study book. And so we're looking, but we're calling the sermon series More. Because we could all use a little more grace, couldn't we? Do you remember how we defined grace last week? Grace is getting something from God that you don't deserve. Or it's when you're really bad before bedtime and mommy gives you chocolate milk anyway. That's when I get to heaven and they ask me if it's on the test, which I don't think it is because Jesus is the test, right? But if they say, what is grace? I'm going straight chocolate milk. But today we're going to continue. We looked last week at prayer and how the Lord's Prayer specifically can allow us to experience more of what we don't deserve from God. His grace, His love, His guidance, His protection, all those things. And today we've actually skipped in the book because today is Communion Sunday, so we're looking at the Lord's Supper. So if you will please join me in God's Word, we're going to be on page 933 if you're in one of the Emmanuel Pew Bibles. If you're in your own Bible, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 23, but before I jump into that, I hope you know that you need to be careful anytime you take one, two, three, or four verses out of Scripture to be careful not to take it out of context. Y'all know what I'm saying? So when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, he wrote it as one letter, and then we break it up because it's easier for us to read. So here's what's going on. The church in Corinth, Corinth was a happening city. There was a lot of nightlife, let's put it that way. It was a port city, and you might go and do some business and then find yourself a lot of trouble. I was going to say good time, but trouble is probably the better word to use in church. But here's what started happening. So the church started looking a lot like the outside community. And what started happening is when they would gather to meet for worship in each other's homes. And when they had the Lord's Supper, they actually had it as their meal, their supper. They ate together. They broke bread together. And then they shared the cup together. Well, in most of those homes, those that would arrive early would be the wealthy people, and about 50 people could fit around this table as they sit on the floor, and then the others could gather outside in like a lobby area. But what was happening is those that were getting there early, those that were wealthier, were enjoying the entire meal and the entire cup of real wine before those outside got to participate in this act of worship. And Paul's addressing that. So the reason we have Paul's theology and what he's telling us about the Lord's Supper is because people were not approaching the table correctly. Okay, so that's where we come today. And we hear these words about Paul, and he's sharing about the institution of the Lord's Supper. So hear these words in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we take a look at the Lord's Supper, and you may want to keep your liturgy. That's what this is, this little half sheet front and back. It's liturgical. It's our printed order. It's our what we recite. But it's also should be what we believe. And so you may want to keep that close because I'm going to reference it a few times. But communion is all about God's grace. At one point we pray this, make them, the elements, the bread and the cup, make them be for us the body of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, we say, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. So Holy Communion is all about grace. It's about the grace given to us to live in oneness with Christ, but it's about the grace we give to each other to live in oneness together. In his sermon titled, The Duty of Constant Communion, John Wesley said, you should take it as often as you can. And here's why. He said, one, simply because Jesus told you to do so. It's pretty simple, right? Jesus said, every time you do this, and remember, they're doing it as a meal together, do it in remembrance of me. The second is because of the benefits we get from it. What are those benefits? Well, the first is the forgiveness of sin. First is the forgiveness of sin. We proclaim that Christ's blood has been shed for us. His body has been pierced or broken for us. And we are now redeemed and reconciled to God for that. But it also gives us a time to go into self-examination, into prayer, to evaluate our lives and who we've been called to be. And then the final thing that it actually does is it reminds us of what our mission should be as Christians. So Stacy and I, when we bought our first home together, we went through the process and we had family members help us with getting furniture, and they would do this and housewarming that. But Stacy had to have a really heavy and difficult dining room table to put together. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, this dining room table isn't any better than the other ones. You like the way it looks, and it's miserable to put together. But one of the reasons it was miserable to put together is because it had this piece in the middle that were on tracks and they would slide. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Do you know why they slide? They make an extension to put in. Well, if you don't lock them when you're trying to put that thing together, it moves on you when you're trying to twist and screw things in. You remember that? Remember how miserable I was? So we had this extension in our table and we loved it. We were the people that always wanted to do something on Friday night or Saturday night because I loved to grill and we loved having people over. We didn't have much material things and we spent way too much money on food that people could come eat with us, didn't we? But man, we had a good time. And we really ended up with a community of people around us who did life with us. But then our house sold and we found ourselves not knowing where we were going to live because I did something crazy and I resigned from my job before I had another job. That's crazy, isn't it? And then God said, well, here's what I'll do. I'll point you to this church in Welford. But we were blessed by some friends who had a second property that they allowed us to live in up near Lyman Lake. It was much smaller than our small home. The table wouldn't fit. So you know what we had to do? We had to take the extension out. And we had to push the table together. And the sad reality became, there was enough room for us, but there's no room for anybody else. And sadly, I think sometimes the church has done the same thing. We've made room around this table for us. And we've failed to make enough room for others. So today I want us to think about two things. I want to think about what God's doing for us, but I also want you to think about extending the table. That's what we call this, extending the table to make room for others. So when we come today, the first thing I want you to do is to remember. We see Jesus' command to do this in remembrance of me. So when we come and when you walk down, I know you's like, you most of the time we're like, I just wish the next person would hurry, because the quicker I get my bread, the quicker I get to go home. Don't act like, I know y'all do it. And I know some of you don't like Communion Sunday because you know it'll be 12:03 before I finish up. I'm just telling you the truth. That's just the way it is. But when you walk down this aisle, I hope it takes you a little while. Because it's in walking down this road, I think we can walk down the road of our life and the journey of our faith. Another reason that I hope it takes you a little while, if it takes you a little while to get to the bread and to the cup, that means there's people in front of you. That means we got more people celebrating in the grace and the love of God. And so this originated, that was through the Passover, right? So the families would remember with the time they took the spotless lamb and they put the blood and God went over those homes, right? And he spared his people. And today we get to look at the only true, spotless, perfect lamb of God and what he did for us. Remembering opens us up to God's grace. But my prayer is that it will also remind us that there is an entire world looking for the love and grace of God. The second thing that we do is we repent. We confess these words in our pardon and confession. We say, merciful God, we confess that we've not loved you with our whole heart, that we have failed to be an obedient church, that we have not done your will, that we have broken your law, that we have rebelled against your love, that we have not loved our neighbors, and that we have failed to hear the cry of the needy. And then we say these words, forgive us, we pray. Forgive us, we pray. See, it should break our hearts that we can say any of these things. And I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm going to tell you, as the pastor of this church, every single one of those applies to me. Some way, shape, or form, every single one of them applies to me. Even the one that says, I have rebelled against your love. You ever had kids rebel and all you were trying to do as a parent was love them, and they made it really difficult to love them? You loved them anyway, didn't you? So here's the good news. On top of all that, on top of all the things we have failed to do, there's more grace in Christ than there is in sin in us. And so today, as we repent, as we remember, it opens us up. It opens our heart to God's grace. But then it should remind us that others need us to do the opposite of these statements so that they can experience the love and grace of God. But you see, communion's not all sad. We finish by, we confess, but then we rejoice in what God has done. We say, free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God, we know we have failed you, but forgive us, we pray. Set us free from all the things that hold us back so that we can enjoy this abundant life that you have promised. In verse 26, we see, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. John Wesley urged Christians to open themselves up to receive the blessings that God offers, but at the same time to rejoice in the fact that God allows them to commit themselves to obey and to serve. Not because God needs us, but because he wants us. We say, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We say, by his baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Then we say these words we gloss over so many times. We say, you delivered us from the slavery to sin and death. Now, does that sound like being set free? The slavery of sin and death. What we're saying is, Christ, before you, without you, we are tied to our sin. We are tied to an eternal death. But because of you, we are free from our sin. And we are free to live eternally forever. Jesus said, because I live, also you shall live. So rejoicing opens us up to God's grace. But don't come to the table and not remember that there's people out there that you love dearly. This may be closer to home than you could ever imagine, who need to be set free. And the only thing that will set them free in their lives is the grace and love of Jesus Christ. And he might just be using you to give it to them. The last thing that we recognize, or that I want us to remember, is that we are reconciled. We say these words: make them be the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Do you hear how in the first part we're asking God to do something for us, and in the second we're saying we're going to go do something on his behalf? Make them be first for us the body and blood of Christ, because I can do nothing out there until I've been filled in here. I can't extend the table until I have first gone to the table. The act of reconciliation opens us to grace, but it prepares us to go out and to help others experience the transformative grace of God. Our call is to extend this table. So how do we do that? Well, as a church, corporately, we do that in several ways. We do it through all our outreach, through all our missions. We do it through simple things like praying for and sending cards to teachers. I can't tell you how many teachers and principals and secretaries have stopped and said, thank you. Y'all did something, because now we almost have too many lunch buddies. I mean, they're not turning anybody away, but they went from not having any, and they like begged, and they were like, well, maybe like a company will send some. They had no idea the little church from across the street. We have people over there almost every day of the week now in that lunchroom. The only day I can think of we don't have somebody is Friday. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that wonderful? In our little book, Henry Nouwen compares the Christian life to the elements of communion. And I've never heard this put this way before, but he says that we're like the bread and the cup. And he says it in this way, that we're taken, we're blessed, we're broken, and we're given. He said, here's what happened. We all come into church, and we all bring our own lives and experience. And God molds us into one loaf, one body, right? So he takes us, then he blesses us, and he forgives us. Then he, after the benediction, he takes that one loaf and he breaks off little chunks, doesn't he? And he sends some of our little chunks to Welford. And he sends some of them to Lyman. And he sends some of them to Taylor's. And he sends some of them to Spartanburg. And little pieces of the loaf of Emmanuel United Methodist Church get spread out all over the upstate, doesn't it? He said, so once you're broken, then you're given to the world. And when we come back, he'll put us back together. He'll bless us again. And then he'll break us and send us out to the world. I think that's beautiful. But I want you to hear these words as we prepare for the table today. It says, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, may we come with open hearts and minds, listening and ready to receive what God so lovingly offers. At the table, in the bread and cup, we may hear Jesus who says to us, I am here for you. Are you here for me? What a powerful reminder that Christ is faithful to meet each and every one of us. But he needs us to be faithful to go, to take it out, and to share.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.